From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of October 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, and Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor will join us to look at the agricultural cash grain market. In Ag News for the day, the chief trade negotiator for the United States is concerned about the value of China's currency. A group of farm state organizations are backing a revenue-based risk management program for the next farm bill. And the U.S. EPA has extended a deadline for farmers to install secondary containment structures around above-ground storage areas. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. And at the end of the half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt should join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast as we wrap up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, a nationwide agricultural advisory firm and land auction company specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of farmland and agribusiness investments. Land, auctions, agribusiness. More information is at murraywiseassociates.com.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago. On this Thursday afternoon, futures finished higher in the soft red winter wheat pit. December contract at $6.30¾, up 11¼. March at $6.63, 11¼ higher, and July at $7.75, up 9¼ cents. July hard red in Kansas City at $7.56, 21½ cents higher. December corn futures at $6.49¼, a settlement price up 11. March at $6.59¼, up 10¾. May corn $6.64½, up 10¼. July at $6.68¾, 10½ cents higher. September at $6.24½ for next year, up 8. December of next year at $6.25. In 2012, up 6¾ cents. November beans $12.25, unchanged. January at $12.30½, 3/4 lower. March at $12.37¾, down 3/4. In the May futures in the bean pit at $12.43½, 1/4 cent lower. July $12.50, unchanged. And the November beans of next year at $12, 12¼ cents, down 1/4 cent. Bean meal at $3.20, that's up $1. Bean oil at $51.39, down 9 cents. Live cattle futures October at $121.45, a nickel higher. December at $121.80, down $1.15. October feeders at $139, 27½, 7½ cents higher. November at $142, 2½, down 62½. And lean hogs finished at $89.97½. The December contract a dime lower for the day. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. November crude oil futures, $85.30, down 81 cents. Ethanol at 263¾, that's a nickel lower. Natural gas at 362½, 3¾ higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.02¼, up 4¾ cents. And the gold futures for the day, down $34.10 at $1,611.90 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,580, just about 74 points higher, and the dollar at 76.9 is down 0.14 for the day. The CRB index now stands at 307.68, down 3.11. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Cloudy skies, a high of just 48 degrees. It'll be breezy out with a west-northwest wind at about 22 miles an hour sustained, gusting all the way to 31 tonight, cloudy during the early evening hours, and gradually clearing, a low of just about 35 degrees this evening. West-northwest winds at 8 to 13, gusting to 16. Friday should show us sunny skies, a high near 55 degrees, west-northwest winds between 7 and 9. And on Friday night, patchy frost after 1 a.m., otherwise mostly clear, a low of 36. West-southwest winds between 3 and 5 miles an hour. Saturday, mostly sunny skies, a high of 63. Southwest winds by Saturday at 5 to 8. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 41. Sunday's partly sunny and a high of 62. And on Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 45. By the time we get to the start of the work week on Monday, sunny skies, a high of 66. Monday night, clear and 48. Tuesday, a chance of showers, mostly sunny then, a high of 69. And Tuesday night, a chance of showers again, mostly cloudy for the rest of that day with a low of 49 degrees. And Wednesday, a chance of showers next week, mostly cloudy, a high near 57 degrees.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line with us from ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, Dan Zwicker. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
It's an interesting market. We're halfway done with the corn crop, and we're still have fairly high prices, and we're climbing higher today. What'd you make of the market?
Technically, it's a very positive action that we've basically had since the beginning of October. I mean, corn is following a very normal seasonal pattern. Not uncommon to make lows in the first part of October and then pull out of an October low. And here we are with about 1 week to go. We're significantly higher. We had a low on October 3rd, I think, is when we made our low point, around 572 and a quarter, and today we're closing out here at 649 and a half. So we are, almost 80 cents higher for the month. It looks to me, at least chart-wise, if we could get some strong follow-through action from today's advance and punch above the 655 area, which was the high that we had here about a week ago, we would be on our way toward putting a 7 in front of corn.
There are some thoughts that this is a short crop. It is. And that short crops have long tails. That generally, I think, means, and you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, and I may very well be, that along with the higher prices come destruction of demand, and that's why they've got the long tail and suddenly you sort of tail off the market towards the end of the year and have lower prices by the time we get to the new crop rather than higher. Would you subscribe to that for this particular crop, or are there different things afoot?
Well, that could very well be the case before it's over with. We don't know. I mean, basically, it's, you know, the short crop, long tail, is prices peak early in the marketing season and then have a long tail and prices decline through the rest of the marketing year. Now, we've had them peak as early as August on a short crop, and then as late as November. The way this market is flowing, it could be following maybe the 1980 model, where in 1980 we had kind of a late August, early September high. We broke into an October low, and then the market turned around and regrouped and had a rally right on into Thanksgiving, and that was the first year corn touched $4. And, of course, we spent, 30 years almost looking at that $4 high. But but that's what happened in 1980. In 1980 was a short crop basically for the people south of Interstate 80 and to the east. The west had a good crop because it was a Bermuda high type pattern that threw rain into Iowa and Minnesota and Wisconsin and northern Illinois. But when you got underneath Interstate 80 and to the east, they were the ones with the short crop. So the short crop long tail could still be a factor in here if indeed the November crop report makes some downward adjustments in supply. I mean, the way the market is acting, when you see these basis levels, what you're seeing, it is kind of telling you that there is something wrong out there. In a sense that USDA's ending stocks number might be too high. Maybe the crop's not as big as what USDA is signaling, because the market is in desperate need of cash inventory, and you're seeing that with the basis. And now basically what's kicking in gear now is the futures are following the basis higher to try to get some cash inventory into the pipeline.
I have something that's in the 1980 historical perspective, and I was just a sophomore in high school at the time, so I don't really remember this other than I've read about it. At that point, it seems to me that we had an ethanol industry about 10 million gallon plants, and there were maybe 100 of them around the Midwest at that point.
Well,
and then the bottom fell out of the oil market, and that's what happened. And we lost all those plants, or a half of them in a year, or something like that.
Well, a lot of the 1980 market was driven by cheap dollar, inflationary activity, high exports. I can't remember exactly, but I think we exported like 2.4 billion bushels of corn back then.
Yeah, and we're at 1.6 for this coming
year. Yeah, so it was an inflationary market, and that was Volcker was appointed chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, kind of like in the spring of '80 to try to slow inflation. And he started cranking up the high interest rates or the interest rates. That was the start of the crank up of the interest rates. And then as he kept squeezing interest rates higher into 1981, 82, that strengthened the dollar. And you can go back and look at the dollar index. Back in 1985, the dollar index was like 164. Today we're messing around with 74. So the dollar has lost half or more of its value basically since 1985. And basically that was driven by high interest rates because people came to the U.S., converted their currencies to U.S. dollars, and then put it on CDs and money markets and were making 12, 14, 18% return. So that is what choked, basically, that generated deflationary pressures in the U.S. economy at that time. Yes, you're right. Crude oil prices fell down as well as everything. I mean, it basically tanked us into an 82 recession. And then actually commodities continued their deflationary move all the way into the mid-80s, about the time you started to work for me. We started climbing out of that hole, that 27-year cycle low at that point.
That was an ugly time. It was a long time ago. Hopefully this year will be much better. And we won't see the high interest rates and the inflation. That would be an ugly
time.
Well,
history does repeat itself. It's just a matter of when that's going to happen. But at least for the time being here, you can see our weekly export sales on corn was a marketing year high. I mean, at almost 70 million bushels, or right at 70 million bushels. And, you know, that's telling you the export demand is picking up a little bit. Ethanol demand, grind for ethanol demand is excellent. Everybody's been in a profitable position. That's why they've been able to pay these basis levels that we're hearing about throughout the Midwest near some of these big ethanol plants. The thing that hasn't caught yet, and that probably is not going to catch, is domestic feed usage is really struggling, especially when you go into the Southeast rail market where a lot of poultry people are. And there's talk if this corn does have to move 50 cents to kind of bring in some inventory into the pipeline, that you may hear of some more bankruptcies in the chicken and turkey business. They're really on the ropes.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Keep an eye on the dollar. The dollar is going to be a key force if this market is going to try to go higher into November. That kind of means that things in Europe needs to get patched up or duct taped up for a little bit, strengthen the euro. That would weaken the dollar, and that would help fuel here a fall rally that we might be looking back at a 1980 type model.
Thank you so much.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report. Dave Dickey is here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, The chief U.S. trade negotiator today says that the Obama administration will work with Congress to find a thoughtful way to address concerns that China undervalues its currency. But Ron Kirk declined to say whether the White House supports a bill that cleared the Senate last week that is aimed at forcing Beijing to raise the value of the yuan. The Obama administration has not taken a formal position on the bill, although it has cautioned that any legislation must be compatible with World Trade Organization rules. Kirk said it is important not to put all the focus on currency values in trying to level what he said was an unfair trade playing field with China. The American Soybean Association, the National Corn Growers Association, and the National Farmers Union are sending congressional agricultural leaders a letter formally stating their support for a revenue-based risk management program to replace parts of the existing farm bill. The letter says the new revenue-based risk management program should be designed to partially offset losses caused by reduced yield or multi-year price declines not currently covered under federal crop insurance and would not require any changes to that program. The letter from the Corn and Soybean Groups and the Farmers Union were sent to the chairman and ranking members of the House and Senate Agricultural Committees. The Environmental Protection Agency has extended a key deadline in complying with the Spill Prevention Control and Countermeasure Rule. The SPCC rule requires farmers to have secondary containment structures around most above-ground oil and fuel storage containers when a farm has an aggregate capacity to store more than 1,320 gallons. Written spill plans also will be required. The original compliance date for the rule was November 10th of 2011. It has been extended to May 10th of 2013. EPA amended the deadline because of a series of natural disasters. The regulatory requirement applies to owners or operators of farms in operation before August 16th of 2002. New draft legislation says Canada's government will give the Canadian Wheat Board certain financial guarantees, but will not give it seed capital or regulated access to grain handlers after the board loses its grain marketing monopoly next year. The change would allow farmers to sell directly to grain handlers instead of marketing their crops only through the Wheat Board. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Please do visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find our weekend program. It's called Commodity Week. This week, our guest, John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures in Memphis, Tennessee.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Next, the price of corn is high enough to do one of two things on the world stage. I'll have more on why the U.S. government thinks exports of the commodity will be down sharply over the next 12 months. The World Agricultural Outlook Board, it's an agency of the USDA, compiles data on corn production around the globe. Now, it uses this data, in part, to predict how many bushels of corn will be exported from this nation. It's a number that has dropped substantially, says University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin.
The USDA dropped both corn and soybean export projections. They're now at, particularly in corn, historically very low levels, certainly reflecting an expectation of weaker economic growth around the world in the upcoming marketing year and recovery of production in other areas.
Corn exports are projected to be down nearly 13% year over year at just 1.6 billion bushels. It is expensive in today's global economy to buy corn from the United States, and if a nation cannot buy cheap corn from the U.S., than it might look to another supplier. And the competition has been ramping up production.
World corn production is expected to increase almost 250 million bushels more in this report than just a month ago. And at the margin, you're talking about a U.S. ending stocks estimate someplace, you know, in that neighborhood of 800 or 900 million bushels. That's a fairly significant jump in the total availability of corn around the world.
Three nations have stepped up corn production: Ukraine, Russia, and some of the former Soviet states, and China account for all of the increase in world corn production. Now, China is right now harvesting a record-sized corn crop. It's the second largest on the planet, but still only half of what the U.S. produces. It's also probably not enough. China may need to source corn from somewhere else on the globe. It could be from the U.S., but then again, maybe not. We're University of Illinois Extension. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, I took a moment or two to check out some of the facts that I gave you about those ethanol plants because I knew that it was that right time frame. I had gone to Ukraine a few years ago and did a little bit of history for them of ethanol in the United States. Actually, the number of ethanol plants in the United States at that point peaked at 163. It was 1983 that happened. It was 85 that we got the crude oil that was really cheap, and half of those plants were closed in that same year. Now, let's take a look at the cash grain market. On the phone line with us, Matt Bennett. He's in Windsor at TGM. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
You're a subscriber to the short crop, long tail type of phenomenon and think producers should sell up front a lot more corn than maybe has been sold. Is that right?
Well, you know, when you look at these basis levels, Todd, it's obvious that they want the corn right now. And I think that as a producer, I mean, you got to kind of weigh out what your, you know, what the risk is of holding on to it. If you hold on to it, obviously there's going to be some downside. There could be a chance for a rally, but you got to ask yourself who's going to be buying it. So I'm a big fan of selling and then re-owning it for guys that want to look at, you know, staying in the game.
Yeah, and when you talk about the re-owning structure, what are you thinking and at what time frame?
A lot of it just depends on the person. I mean, some guys would be interested in buying futures. I'm not a big fan of that at this point. I would be looking at, you know, a limited risk scenario where I'm buying call options and sometimes, you know, entering into a bull call spread will make it a little cheaper for a guy to do.
Tell me about corn harvest in your area. Are you close to being done?
Yeah, I mean, it's 95% done. I would say you get south of Route 16 and there's quite a bit of corn out in the field yet. But right around in here, right around in Windsor area, Lake Shelbyville area, I'd say, you know, we're at least 90% done for the area, and right around Windsor, at least 95.
And soybeans?
Pretty much done. There's a couple guys still cutting beans, but pretty much done in this area.
All right, and your bids for the day?
Yeah, my cash corn would be 646, and Jan's 649. Cash beans 1206 and Jan 1208.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
And that is Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Comes to us on this Thursday afternoon. We'll say so long now to some of our radio stations. For the rest of you, stick around. I'll be back in just a couple minutes and we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Pete Levitt should be back in the saddle.
National Brandied Fruit Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1803, the U.S. Senate ratified the Louisiana Purchase. The acquisition included the entire western corn belt and most of the wheat-producing states in the U.S. Thomas Jefferson decided to make the purchase because he felt uneasy about France and Spain having the power to block American trade access to the port of New Orleans. In 1930, The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes premiered on NBC Radio. You may not know this, but the sleuth had a green thumb. In his last story, we learned that though Holmes is crippled by occasional attacks of rheumatism, he has for many years lived on a small farm 5 miles from Eastbourne, where his time is divided between philosophy and agriculture. And in 1970, Norman Borlaug received the Nobel Peace Prize for his contribution to the Green Revolution. An American agricultural pioneer, he increased grain production throughout the Third World by perfecting and introducing new strains of wheat and rice crops. And he conceived the World Food Prize, awarded each fall for improving the world's food supply or access to it. And that's this day in agricultural history.
The closing market reports will start early on our home station during our Pledge Central Drive, and you'll hear that on some of these radio stations in the next several days. Beginning this Friday, October the 21st, and throughout our fall pledge period, we'll be starting the closing market segment at 9:45 a.m. We have a great offer for those folks at the Allendale Conference. If you want to, you won't really want to miss that, but you'll need to tune in early in order to catch that offer from Allendale. It starts at 9:45 tomorrow morning, this Friday, to support the agricultural programs and get the closing market reports on our home radio station, WILL.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, I was rather hopeful that we'd be able to talk with Pete Levitt this afternoon. He's still detained and has been for quite some time. He's okay, but a little held up. Fell down the stairs a few months ago, about a month ago, and working on a pretty bad broken leg. So we'll go with the forecast that comes from the National Weather Service, which says that it's be cloudy this afternoon, and they'd be right. It's 48 degrees out there. Tonight, it'd be cloudy, and right on through the early evening hours, and then we'll clear it out. We'll have a low about 35 degrees, west-northwest winds at 8 to 13, and Friday, we'll see some sunny skies with a high of 55 Friday night. Patchy frost, that'll come after 1 o'clock in the morning. Otherwise, it'll be mostly clear. A low of 36 on Friday night. West-southwest winds then between 3 and 5 miles an hour. Should see some warmer temperatures, you would think, with those west and southwest winds coming through Friday night. And indeed, on Saturday, we'll have mostly sunny skies with a high of 63 degrees. The southwest winds will continue at 5 to 8 miles an hour. Saturday night, partly clear. A low of 41, and Sunday, partly sunny. A high of 62 degrees. Sunday night, mostly cloudy skies, a low of 45. Monday, sunny, and a high of 66 degrees. Monday night, mostly clear. A low of 48 degrees, and Tuesday, a chance of showers, mostly sunny, a high of 69. Tuesday night, chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of 49 degrees, and Wednesday, a chance of showers, and mostly cloudy, a high near 57 degrees. Don't forget to listen to our Commodity Week program that comes up on Saturday on many of these radio stations, but you can always hear it on the line at our website at willag.org, that's W-I-L-L-A-G.org, or on our mobile website at m.willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, including Commodity Week. Our guest this week, John Bondurant with Bondurant Futures. He's in Memphis, Tennessee. Should be a really good show. John's always a lot of fun to talk with. If you haven't ever heard him on our shows before, it's one you won't want to miss, and you'll either want to tune in to one of our radio stations, or you'll want to pick it up online at willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. Thanks so much for being with us. Stay safe out there. I'm Todd Gleason.